We will begin in Daf Kuf Yutes Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Ish Sholach Baal V'Tzrosom Dinas Yam. A woman who her husband and her tzar went to Medina Siyam, Ubov Amalei Meis Baalach, and they come and they report to her that her husband passed away, Loitim Nasei, since she, when her husband left, he did not have any children. So she has a chazaka that she has to have Yibam. So Loitim Nasei, she may not get married unless we know that her tzara was Muberes, that her tzara either had children or Yolda, or she actually had a child that will exclude her from having the need to have Yibam. On the other hand, Loitim Siyabim, she can't have Yibam until she knows for sure that Shema Muberes, because she can't have Yibam, because we have to be concerned that maybe the Tzara had a baby, and since maybe the Tzara had the baby, we can't let her get married to the Yavam, because she, if the Tzara had a baby, she is not, she can't have Yibam. On the contrary, we would have a serious Isser of Eshesach. Says the Mishnah, Hoseloi Chamois, if she had a mother-in-law, Medina Sayyam, and when her mother-in-law went to Medina Siyam, her mother-in-law did not have any other children, did not have any other sons, to be exact, besides this woman's husband. So she was on the assumption that she will not have to have Yibam, because she has no brother-in-law with whom to have Yibam. She needs not be concerned that her mother-in-law had babies overseas, and now she has a brother-in-law with whom she has to do Yibam. If her mother-in-law, however, left pregnant, now she has to be chasheshes. Now we have to be concerned that she maybe had a baby, and that baby was a boy, and she has an obligation to have Yibam. Rabbi Shua, on the other hand, says, ain't a chasheshes, that we don't have to be concerned, because since she has a chazaka, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, she has a chazaka that she doesn't have to have Yibam. Why does she have a chazaka she doesn't have to have Yibam? Because she had no brothers. And also, since there's a possibility that even if her mother-in-law was pregnant, maybe she wasn't able to carry full term, maybe the baby never made it, and therefore, the halacha is, according to Rabbi Shua, even if her mother-in-law was pregnant, we don't require her to be concerned that she maybe has a brother-in-law. My Hitzarasa. The Mishnah began with saying that Holach Balam Tzarasam Dinas Yom Loi Tinosei V'Loi Tisyabim Achitei that the Shema Muberes Hitzarasa. The words Hitzarasa are superfluous. It should have just said Shema Muberes Tzarasa. Answers the Gemara Hakamashwan. The Mishnah wants to teach us, says the Gemara, another Alocha. The Mishnah wants to teach us the halacha, the lahat tzara hu the chashinin. We're only concerned what is the status with this tzara. Avul tzara achrita, to be concerned that maybe this husband, her husband, married another woman while he was overseas, and that woman that he married overseas also now had a baby. To start having all these concerns, we don't have to have such a concern, and we could be lenient and allow her to get married as long as we know that tzara never had a baby. So most Rishashim explain, the Rishash says the word he is the word that we're focused on. There are others that say the focus is on the entire sentence. Both words, hitzarasa, superfluous, to teach us this din, that we don't have to be concerned that maybe a husband marry another woman. So we learned, so says the, we could well understand why she can have Yibam. The chayshin dilma ma'abra, maybe the tzara had a baby, and if the tzara had a baby, then she may not have Yibam, and by having Yibam, as much as there's a mitzvah to do yibum, when there's a mitzvah to do yibum, when there's no mitzvah to do yibum, the kar paga beishes ach deraisa. She's going to end up having relations with somebody who's an eishes ach. Eloi tenosei, why can't she get married? Macher, why shouldn't we say halach ach roiv nashim, that most women we should follow roiv. The roiv nashim is abbas v'yoldus, and most women get pregnant. And since most women get pregnant, that should be enough of assumption that her tzara had a baby. And if a tzara had a baby, she isn't a candidate for yibum. She could get married to anyone. Says the Gemara, lema. The only way we could seemingly be able to understand our Mishnah, lema. We have to say that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rameya, the Chayish Lamiyutei. Rameya is the mandama throughout Shas that says that even for a minority, we have to be concerned. Rashi says the place we find that Rameya holds Chayish Lamiyutei is by the Kutim. Since they found that some Kutim worshipped Avodah Zarah, Rameya says that's enough to be concerned that all Kutim are Avodah Zarah, and that's why we have to be concerned. Says the Gemara, Afil Tem Rabbanan. Even the Rabbanan who don't agree with Rameya and are not concerned for a miyut, Chazli Rabbanan Basaruba, when the Rabbanan say we should follow Roiv? Ruba de Issa Kaman, when we have the Roiv in front of us. The example will be when we have 10 stores, 9 sell kosher meat, 1 sells non-kosher meat, and the meat that we have, and we find a piece of meat in the street, we could assume that the meat that was found was kosher. The meat that we found was kosher meat. Because we have a roiv, that most meat sold here is kosher. Or a Sanhedrin. When the Sanhedrin is deliberating on a case, we follow the majority. But there's a different type of roiv, says the Gemara. It's a ruba de leisa kamon. Ruba de leisa kamon is not that we have a roiv in front of us. A ruba de leisa kamon means that most times this is what happens. Like our Gemara just says, most women get pregnant and have children. Maybe in such a case, like as the Rabbanan Basaroiva, even the Rabbanan won't be so quick to follow the roiv. And the Chasam Sofer explains, what's the difference between a ruba de isa kamon and a ruba de leisa kamon? He says that a ruba de isa kamon is a much stronger roiv. Why is it a much stronger roiv? Explains the Chasam Sofer, when we have a ruba de isa kamon, we have the roiv right in front of us. Like we gave the examples, we have the 10 stores and 9 sell kosher. We have the Sanhedrin, and most of the Sanhedrin passed in the one way. When it's a ruba de leisa kamon, when we're saying that most people get pregnant, it's not like we have something in front of us. And since we don't have something in front of us, the Rabbanan will agree that that's not considered such a strong roif. Rabbi Chanan says that a ruba de leisa kamon is not because of a svara. He says, the Torah says, achi rabim lahatos. Rameya and Rabbanan can't disagree with that. But says the Rabbi Chanan, what Rabbanan means to say, that yes, the Torah said, achi rabim lahatos. But when did the Torah say, achi rabim lahatos? Only when it's a ruba de isa kamon, when it's a ruba de leisa kamon, the Torah never said, achi rabim lahatos. Here we introduce the concept that Rameya holds, that chayshina lemiyuta. And that's why I saw that the Michsalozer in his Sefer Divrei Torah says that the minig, many people have the custom that if somebody, Rachman Tzlan, is sick, we give tzedakah, and they give tzedakah specifically to tzedakah to Rameya Balanes. Why do they give tzedakah to Rameya Balanes? So he explains that Ruba, because Rameya, we just said, is Chayesh Lemiyuta. Rameya says that even something which is not likely to happen, we take into consideration. So explains the Michsalozer. You have a person who's very sick, and the doctor said that his situation is not good. He doesn't have a lot of hope. But if you chayish lemiutai, if you chayish even for a small chance, then we could maybe say there's a glimmer of hope. And in fact, I saw once a beautiful story
The Rav of Prague, we know that Noida Behuda was the Rav of Prague. His predecessor was very sick. And the people of the city, seeing that his predecessor was not doing well, went over to him and asked him, who should be your successor? And he said, maybe Reb Meir. And afterwards, he passed away with nobody really understanding what he meant when he said, maybe Reb Meir. So they decided that whoever will be the person that will be able to determine and tell us what he meant, that is the person that's a worthy successor. And they met many candidates for that position, but nobody was really able to satisfactorily say what was meant with this statement. Until the Noida Behuda was met, and the Noida Behuda said, you know what the previous Rav meant with Reb Meir? You're asking, he was saying to them, who should be my successor? Because you're assuming that I'm not going to make it. But maybe we follow the opinion of Reb Meir. Reb Meir says, Chashidin L'mutar, that even if there's a slim chance, we hope for that slim chance. And therefore, there's no need to ask who will be my successor. Continues the Gemara. Varei asked the Gemara. So we're saying that Rabbanon maybe agree that by Ruba the Leisa Kamon, we are choshish for the miyut. Ask them our Kotav Ketana. The halacha is that a Kotav Ketana, we learned in our Masechta, the question, are they candidates for Yibum or Chalitza under the circumstances? The halacha is that Reb Meir says that they can't do Yibum or Chalitza, as we're going to learn, because Reb Meir is concerned that this cotton may be a Saris, this Ketana may be an islandess. Individuals who we've learned in our Masechta are not qualified to do Yibum Chalitza. The Rabbanon don't have that concern. So clearly we see that it's a situation of Ruba de Lesser Kamonhi, and still, Vazle Rabbanon, Basaroiva, the Rabbanon still follow the Roif. The Tanya, as we just explained, the Brisa teaches us. Cotton Ketana, a cotton Ketana lechotzim lemiyabim divra meya. Rameya's opinion is they're not candidates, not for Chalitza, not for Yibum. So they told Rameya, Yofa mat shen cholzen. We clearly agree with you that they can't do chalitza. Why? Because in the pasha of chalitza, the Torah uses the word ish. Im lo yachvetz ish l'kachas as yaventai. So we see that the only one that could be a part of a chalitza is an adult. Or makshin an ish l'ish. And then we say, whatever's the halacha by the man is the halacha by the woman. And therefore, only adults can't be candidates for chalitza. It could only be candidates for chalitza. But the question is, matam em yabim. Why can't they do yubim? Amalehem, so Rameh said to Rabbanan, because by cotton, we need to be concerned, as we explained, shema yimotzi soris. That this cotton may be a soris, and a soris doesn't do yibim. Ketana, why can't a ketana do yibim? Because we need to be concerned, shema timtza islandess. That maybe she's an islandess, v'nimtza poigim ba'arva. And therefore, if there's no mitzvah to do yibim, as we often say, not only is there no mitzvah, but actually it would be an aveira. It would be the aveira of Eish Yisach. The Rabbanon who disagree with Reb Meir, and they hold that a cotton and a ketana can do yibim. Why do they hold that a cotton and ketana can do yibim? Savri zil basar uva d'ketani. We follow Roiv. And Roiv ketanim lav sarisa ninu. Zil Rasa Roiv Ketanis. We follow most Ketanis. And most Ketanis are not the islandess. Now this is a Ruba the Leisa Kamon. And still we follow that, we follow the Roiv the Leisa Kamon. So we say, we can't say that the Rabbanon agreed that we're worried for a Miut by Ruba the Leisa Kamon. So what must we say? El Machvarta, our Mishnah that is concerned for the Miut, that is concerned that maybe that she had a baby, the halacha is because it's following the opinion of Reb Meir that's chayish lemeitai, okay, and therefore even if most women
do get pregnant, we can't let her get married based on that roif, because we have to be concerned that maybe even if her tzara got pregnant and had a baby, she then, maybe she didn't have a baby, we go after the miyat, or maybe even if she had a baby, that baby died. So ask the Gemara, Maya Kumta, how will we explain that Mishnah that said that she may not get married, because we need to be concerned, as we keep on repeating, that maybe her tzara had a baby overseas? Kreb Meir, we're choshish for that. Eima Seifa, hois loch hamois, the loch is that such as she had a mother-in-law, and when a mother-in-law went overseas, there were no other children, and now the mother-in-law is not here. The halach in the Mishnah was that in a chasheshus, we need not be concerned that maybe her mother-in-law had a son overseas, and now if her husband died, she needs to have yibum chalitza. Amai, but ask the Gemara, why not follow roiv? Roiv noshim, mis abrois the oldest. Most women get pregnant. So, and then the miyat, the mapilas. And call the oldest, and whoever has a baby, mechtsa zechara, mechtsa nekevis, smoich miuta de mapoilis. So we take the small amount, the small percentage that the babies miscarry, and then we also have 50% that are nekevis, vavle zechara miuta, and it's only a miyat. But ask the Gemara, if our Mishnah is following the opinion of Rameya, even if you have a miyat, we should be choshish. So why is this woman, if she knows her husband dead, cannot need to be concerned that maybe her mother-in-law had a baby? Answers the Gemara, Dilma Kivin Deschazak L'Shuka, she has a chazaka that when her husband will die, she need not have Yibim Chalitza, because we know that the husband didn't have children, we know that the husband didn't have brothers, we don't have to be choshish when there's, even a may will agree, we don't need to be concerned when there's a chazaka. But ask the Gemara, that can't be. Reisha, in the case where her husband and the tsar went to Medina Sayyam, and we said that she can't have Yibum, why not? This woman, on the contrary, had a chazaka that she has to have Yibum. And if she has a chazaka that she has to have Yibum, Tiyabim. Answers the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuha, Reisha, we were going to allow her to have Yibum, where maybe she's not allowed to have Yibum. Where we're assuming that she has to have Yibum, and we're assuming that her tzara did not have any children, what we're doing is, we're letting her have Yibum, so that means she's going to get married to her brother-in-law. And if she's not allowed to marry her brother-in-law, we have an Issacharis. And that's why we have to be more concerned. Seifa, on the other hand, it's only an Issalav. That means if she has to have Yibum and she doesn't have Yibum, it's only a loch of Yivam Lashuk. And that's why Lechashu. Ask the Gemara, Amar Rava, I don't understand your line of reasoning. Michti, Hadaraisa for Hadaraisa. Both cases are a Daraisa. Mali Issacharis, Mali Issalav. Yes, of course, an Issacharis, says the Gemara, is much stricter than an Issalav. But even if the Issacharis is much stricter than Issalav, it's still an Issa Daraisa. And the Halacha, as I saw the Mefarshim explain, that Sofik Daraisa L'Chumra, there's no reason that we should be more lenient. If the Halacha is that we always have to be Machmer by an Issa Daraisa. Ella Amar Rava. Rava explains the Gemara as follows. Reisha, she has a chazaka liyibam. Reisha, she has a chazaka, she has to have yibam. Viruba, and most women have babies, and therefore the roiv tells us, so we have a chazaka that she should have yibam, and we have a roiv that says that she shouldn't have yibam. The chazaka like out of keruba, and says the Gemara, halachically, a chazaka is not as strong as a roiv. The roiv is stronger than a chazaka, and therefore, even though she has a chazaka that she has to have yibum, since the roiv works against that chazaka, the roiv is that her tzara had a baby, then the halach is she should not be allowed to have yibum. But if that's the case, if she's not going to have Yibum, because I'm relying on the Roiv, which we're saying is stronger than the Chazaka, so then why shouldn't she be able to get married? Why are we saying that she can't get married to another man either? Says the Gemara, I submit to Mepoilus, but there is a miut of women that
even if they're pregnant, they have a miscarriage. So what we have to do is that miyat we put with the chazaka. So we have on one hand a roiv that she has to have. On one hand, we have a roiv that she's not supposed to have yibum. On the other hand, we have a chazaka and a miyat that says that she should have yibum. So that creates a situation of palga, 50-50. In other words, it creates a real suffix. And because it creates a real suffix, the halach is, we can't let a loy to nasei, we can't let her marry a different man, because we have to maybe be concerned for the chazaka and the miyat that say that she has to have yibum. On the other hand, we can't let her have yibum, because we have the roiv that says that she doesn't have to have yibum, and therefore she can't do either. Sefer, in the Sefer, what happened? The chamaisa went without children overseas. The chazaka, therefore, is that she is allowed to get married and not have yibum, because she has no one to have yibum with. And then we also have a roiv that says that she can marry to the shuk. Because if we follow roiv, roiv says that her mother-in-law did get pregnant and have the roiv says that she that because the we have the roiv that says that she could get married. That so we have the roiv havle zechar miuta de miuta. The chance that there was a boy is only miut de miuta. Even Rameya, who's concerned, he's not that concerned. So again, to explain, in the Sefer, we're not choshish for the miyat, because the chamoisa went overseas without children. So since she went overseas without children, this woman has a chazaka that she doesn't have to have yibam. The roiv says that she could get married to the shuk, because, as we said earlier, the roiv in the case of the roiv in the case of chamoisai also says that she probably did not have, because maybe even if she got pregnant, she had a girl, and even if she had a boy, maybe he didn't survive. So the chance that she has a viable boy is only a miuta de miuta. It says the Gemara, miuta de miuta lechayish ramei. Even Rameya, who we spoke about earlier, is chayshish for miut de miut, he's not chayshish. So the Mishnah says that, as we just learned, that if the mother-in-law went overseas, and we don't know if the mother-in-law had a baby boy or not, she could get remarried without suspecting that there was a son born who was her yavam. So the Gemara asks, why are we not concerned that roiv noshim is abris v'yaldus? So the Gemara said, because, as we just explained, first of all, even if she got pregnant, there's a 50% chance that it was a girl. And even if it was a boy, maybe he didn't survive. He died. But the Chaim de Shlomo asks, yes, if there was only one pregnancy, so we have the statistics that say that she shouldn't have to have yibum. But what about the mother-in-law, asked the Chaim de Shlomo, lived overseas for many days? And for many years. So she didn't only get pregnant once, but she got pregnant many times. And if she got pregnant many times, then the probability and the statistics start changing. And the probability and the statistics start saying that she probably did have a viable boy. And therefore, says the Chaim de Shlomo, absolutely, that if the mother-in-law lived overseas with her husband for a long time, then the sack in the Gemara would be different. And then we would indeed need to be concerned that maybe she has a surviving brother-in-law and she can't just get married because maybe she's a candidate for Yibam until she knows for sure that she doesn't have any children. However, the Ar Sameach says that if the mother-in-law left without a husband, so then to be also concerned that not only did she get married, so we add another if to the question. First of all, we don't know that the mother-in-law ever got remarried. And then even if she got remarried, we have to start thinking, was there a boy? Did the boy survive? Says the Osmeach that even if the mother-in-law was away for a long time, it doesn't change the halacha, and the halacha would be she need not be concerned, as the Gemara just finished explaining, that maybe she has a brother-in-law with whom she has to do yibam. Here we're discussing the halacha of maybe she had a brother-in-law. And the question is, because as the Gemara says, most women get pregnant, and there's a 50-50 chance that the baby is a boy. And there's also a chance that even a 50 chance that he's a girl or a boy, and then maybe he won't survive. This question, this issue is very pertinent to the wife of a kohen who's pregnant. And the question is the wife of a woman who's pregnant allowed to go into an oil mace, into a home where there's a mace? Because should we not be concerned that maybe this baby is a boy? And if he's a boy and he's a kohen, and a man, a boy who's a kohen, is not allowed to go into an oil mace. So the Rekeach already discusses this, and the Rekeach uses our Gemara. He says, first of all, when the wife of the kohen is pregnant, it's a 50-50 chance if it's a boy or a girl, and if it's a girl, obviously there's no problem with that girl entering the oil mace. And even if it's a boy, he may not be viable. He may be a nafel. There are other achrayim, the Ratfaz, the Brikei Yosef, that are not so confident in using this point. And they say that we don't want to rely on this if we don't have to. And therefore, here in our Mishnah, where there's a question that this woman won't be able to get remarried, so maybe then we could rely on the statistical probabilities. But a woman who's pregnant, maybe she shouldn't go in to oil a mace. But there are other achron in the Bikur Yosef quotes the Knesset Agdoila that says that until the child emerges from his mother, so it's considered uber yerech imoy. He's not considered an independent being. He's considered part of his mother. Since he's considered part of the mother, the wife of a kohen has no issue in becoming tamei. And therefore, the child, even if he's a boy, and even if it's Hashem, Baruch Hashem, he'll be viable, it's not a question. Here our Gemara said also that there's a difference between Issel, the Gemara wanted to say there's a difference between Issalav and Issacharis, and then the Gemara says that no, if we're dealing with a Issadaraisa, then it shouldn't make a difference if it's Issalav and Issacharis. The Noid of Yehuda discusses, we know that Erev Pesach, after the Zman, Chometz is Osir. The question is, what about Chometz Noiksha? So he says it depends. If Chometz Noiksha is an Issa Deraisa, so then we have to treat all Chometz, even Chometz Noiksha, as the same as all other Chometz. However, if Chometz Noiksha is only an Issa Derabanan, we could be more lenient. We learned in the Mishnah that a woman whose husband went overseas with her tzara, says the Gemara, does that mean that la'olam, does she remain in this state forever? Says the Gemara, amzira la'atzma, when she didn't have a tzara, and the only question in her being allowed to get married or having yibum is she pregnant from her husband or not? Says we learned, shloisha chadashim, she has to wait for 3 months. And if after 3 months we see she's not pregnant, we learned the halacha is that she could have, if she has to have yibum, she could have yibum, she could get remarried, if she's able to get remarried, if she doesn't have to have yibum, she could get remarried. And as we learned previously in our Masechta, even in a case where there is no question that she's not pregnant because her husband wasn't here, Chazal said, loy plug, and she has to wait 3 months. L'chaverta, when there was a tzara, we have to wait 9 months. And then after 9 months, chaletzes shashidu chalitza memonoshach. Why? Because if the tzara didn't have any children, she's a candidate for yibum. We're not going to let her have yibum because maybe the tzara had a baby, but we will allow her to have chalitza. If the tzara had a baby, so yibum is osur because of eshesach, chalitza she'll do even though she doesn't have to have it. Rav Chanina disagrees, and he says disagrees with Zira, and he says Latzma, when there is no tzara, so as we just said, a woman who has no tzara has to wait 3 months. But if she has a tzara, and we don't know what happened with the tzara, then the halach is la'olam. But ask the Gemara why. The tachlitz b'manashach. As we just explained, why don't we let her have chalitza? If the tzara didn't have the baby, so she's having chalitza that she's obligated to have, and now she could get remarried. If, on the other hand, the tzara had a baby, and she didn't have to have the chalitza, so she had it. There's no issur in having a chalitza if you're not obligated to have the chalitza. Says the Gemara, yes, there is an issur in having a chalitza where you don't have to have one. Says the Gemara, bye bar oven, Rav Chanina bar oven, Amri Tavayu, why do we have to be concerned? Gzeiro, Shem Yeh Vlad Ben Kayoma, we need to be concerned that maybe the tzara had a baby, and therefore, if the tzara had to have a baby, the chalitza that she had was a meaningless act. Since it was a meaningless act, she's not considered a chalutza. If she's not considered a chalutza, she marry a kohen. But everybody saw she had chalitza. So what are we going to have to do? The nimtza at the matzah cross lakuna. We're going to have to make an announcement that she's really not a chalutza. And therefore, that's why she shouldn't have a chalitza unless we know she really needs to have one. Says the Gemara, why? So let's make the announcement. If the chalitza ended up not being necessary, let's make an announcement that this chalitza wasn't necessary and everything will be fine. Answers the Gemara, we need to be concerned. There will be somebody who saw the chalitza, but will not be there by the achrozo, and they're going to make the mistake that kasari chalutza l'kayim. They're going to think that this woman is a chalutza, and she didn't have, and she still married a kayin. But she won't recognize that the reason she married a kayin is because the chalitza was really meaningless. Ask the Gemara, Tanan. The Mishnah taught us that if a woman went overseas with her husband, and she comes back, and she says, Nitanli ben Medina Siyam, she says, I had a baby son in Medina Siyam. Vamra. And then she says, however, Meis Bani, my son died first. Akach Meis Bali, then my husband died. So we learned in the Mishnah the previous year, Namenis. We believe in what she says, and she is allowed to have Yibam. Why? Because she always had a chazaka that she's going to have Yibam, that she has to have Yibam. But if she said, Meis Bali of Akach Bani, and that's why I don't have to have Yibam, and in Namenis. Because Choshin L'dvarea, we have to be worried that maybe the son died after the husband, and the halach is chalitza shalomis bemis. The lame asked the Gemara, so we tell her, do chalitza, because we can't be confident that what you're saying is true, and maybe you're mechuyif to have chalitza. Ask the Gemara, but so based on that, we're telling her to have chalitza. But ask the Gemara v'leichish, why should we not be concerned? Maybe they'll say what she said is true, and therefore the chalitza she had was not necessary. And now we're going to have to make an announcement that the chalitza was meaningless. Amra Papa, and we just finished learning, ask the Gemara, that we won't want to do that. We don't want to come into a situation that we're going to have to make an announcement. Says the Gemara, Amar Papa, that Mishnah is talking about a grusha. So that woman who's a grusha can't marry a kohen anyway. That she says that when my husband died, there was nobody there. So what are we concerned? That Edom are going to come and they're going to tell us that what she said is true. And it'll turn out that the chalitza was not required. And by saying that the chalitza was not required, we're going to have this announcement and people will not know. The halach is, we don't have to be concerned. So our Mishnah, our Gemara just taught us that halacha is looks unfavorably at the announcements, because we always have to be concerned that maybe there was somebody that wasn't there for the announcement. And therefore, the Paiskim discuss where if somebody is about to be removed from position of authority, and he's not being removed from the position because there's something wrong. The Be'er Yitzchak discusses a shaila where this community needs a shaychit and a chazan. And there was a shaychit in the community, but he's not a chazan. And they're looking for a chazan, and they find a chazan,
But any chazan that's willing to take the position is a person that says, I'm only going to take that position if you also make me the shaykhet. So now they want to remove the shaykhet. But the shaykhet says, people are going to think that I was removed because of some sort of disqualification. So they say, we'll make an announcement that you didn't do anything wrong. So based on our Mishnah, we see that on our Gemara, we don't rely on announcements. But the Be'er Yitzchak wants to make a difference because there we're removing somebody. Since we're removing somebody, we're not concerned that people will not hear about the reason. Anybody who knows that he was removed will know that there was a reason for where he was removed, and they'll know that there's nothing wrong with him. Here in our Gemara, we want to change a status. Changing a status is a whole different area in halacha. And since changing a status is a different area in halacha, there we have to be more concerned. Says the Mishnah, Shtei Yevamos. There were two women who were married to two men, and they didn't have children. This one says, Zoy Meris Meis Bali. One says, my husband died. The Zoy Meris Meis Bali. And the other one says, my husband died. Zoy Asurim Nebal Shazoo. So even though a woman is believed to say her husband died, she's not believed, but how do we know that her Yavam died? The only way we know her Yavam died is based on the testimony of a Tzara. But we've been learning, we don't rely on the testimony of the Tzara. And therefore, the first one that said her husband died can't get remarried because maybe her Yavam is still alive. And similarly, Zu Asura Bnei Baal Shazu. And Luzu Edom. Now the Mishnah speaks about a different case. One of the women have Edom that her husband died. Luzu Ein Edom. And the other one that doesn't have Edom that her husband died, she just is saying that her husband died. Es Sheishle Edom, the woman that has Edom that her husband has died, Asura, still can't get married because she has to have Yibam. Her husband never had children. And the only way they know that the Yavam is dead is based on the testimony of that Yavam's wife. The testimony of the Yavam's wife cannot be helpful to her to excuse her from having Yibam. And the other, the one that ain't lay Edom, the one that doesn't have Edom that her husband is dead, we can still believe that her husband is dead. Because as we keep on learning, a woman is believed to say her husband is dead. What's the issue? The Yavam? The Yavam has two Edom that he's dead, and therefore she could get remarried. Lezu Bonim, one of these women that says that my husband died has children, Lezu ain't Bonim, but one of them doesn't have children. Says the one, Eshieshle Bonim, the one has children, Muteris, could get remarried. Because on her own husband, she's believed with her own testimony. And Yivam she doesn't have to have because she has Baruch Hashem children. Vish'enle Bonim, Asura. Because even though she's believed to say her husband's dead, she's not believed. That doesn't help her regarding her sister-in-law's testimony about her husband. So she has to have Yibam. But she can't have Yibam. But the husband is dead. But we can't believe that the husband is dead based on the testimony of the Yavam's wife. The Mishnah continues with another case. There were two women married to two brothers. Both didn't have children. There are no Edom that these two brothers died. But, so as we learned, that we believe them that the husbands are dead, but they can't rely on the other woman's testimony that the Yavam is dead. But we don't need that testimony because there were other brothers. So they did Yibam with the other brothers who are surviving. And now those brothers died. Those brothers who did Yibam with absolutely no problem died without children. So the question is, says the Mishnah, asurously not say. They're stuck. Because now, what are they being able, based on what could they get married? But on the assumption that not only did the current husband died, but the husband that the Yavams died. But we didn't believe them, the other woman. We didn't believe them as far as their brother-in-laws are concerned. And that old halacha that we've been discussing throughout the Mishnah kicks back in. Rabbi Elazar disagrees. And he says, Hoyel v'hutru li'yavamim. They were allowed to have Yibam. Once they were allowed to have Yibam, hutru l'chal adam, then, and now when they had this Yibam, and these Yavamim died, then that they could get married to anyone, and with the old concern that maybe the other Yavams are alive and we can't trust the testimony is not to be not a concern. Says the Bryce, one more case. Tana Lazu Edim. One has Edim that her husband died, Ubanim, and she also has children from that husband. Lazu Loi Edim Veloi Banim. She doesn't have Edim nor children. The Lachashtay Mataris. Because each one is believed about themselves that the husband died. And both of them don't need to have Yibam. The one that has Edim that her husband died, but she also has children. So even though we don't believe the Edis that the Yavim died, she's mutter because she has children from her husband. And once she has children from her husband, she doesn't have to have Yibam, even if the Yavim is alive. The one that doesn't have Edim, that her husband died, and she doesn't have children, is also mutter. Because as far as her husband is concerned, she is saying that her husband is dead, and that a woman is believed about. And the other, the Yavam, there are Edim that he died. And therefore, we're not relying on the other woman's testimony to say that her Yavam died. We're relying on the Edim that Yavam died. And that's why, in this case, both of the women can get married and they don't have to have any other concern.